The following is audio from Fellowship Community Church in Centennial, Colorado. If you would like more resources or want to support this ministry, please visit www.fcchurch.org.
It is wonderful to greet you today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we've just been singing about the glory of God. Everything we do is to be done for the glory of God. The Hebrew word for glory relates to weightiness, heaviness. And the more that we can pile onto God with praise, we're just acknowledging how heavy He is, how incredibly perfect He is, how wonderful He is. And you know, it's so inspiring to hear the words of missionaries that have served in Africa for 50 years. Did you hear them say that there were 31 churches that were planted this year? I mean, did you get that? It's just amazing. I mean, long-term people, obviously, Sherry's health isn't too terribly good, but they just won't give up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They want to finish well. And God is enabling. I want to tell you, I am so impressed and blessed by your giving and we had a breakfast last week, didn't we? We did some other things. I tell you, I could have preached five times. I just wasn't out. Like, I was like, we should keep this going. Anyway, I didn't. But you gave nearly $4,000 to our children, to our students, to go on a missions trip, which will take place to Montana. Thank you for your generosity. Again, these are ways that we're investing in the kingdom. These are ways that we're bringing glory to God. As the psalmist said, not unto us, but unto your name be the glory because of your love and your faithfulness. Let's give our offerings this morning. Dear Father, as the ushers come forward, we thank you for the privilege of giving. Lord, not just of our finances, but of other aspects of our lives. You gave your very self for us. So it's only appropriate that we would offer everything to you. And when you're glorified, it's good for us. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray that you'll bless these gifts. We give them in the name of Jesus Christ. We give them believing that this is an act of worship. We do it to bring you glory. And we thank you, Lord. Yes, we are accountable, and one day we'll be evaluated for our stewardship. But we just thank you, Lord, for the privilege of setting us free to give gracefully. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, we've been doing some memory work this month, and the memory work this month has been, it's coming. There you go. Has been in Psalm 16. So this verse, the very end of the psalm, you make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. That really sounds like Jesus, doesn't it? I mean, we said earlier, David wrote it. It's a messianic psalm. Last week we memorized about the resurrection. But this incredible close is just such a great way to look at life. God is the one guiding us. He's guided us. And one day we look forward to being filled with joy in His presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. I mean, Paul says in Ephesians, we're already seated at the right hand with Jesus. But here he's just celebrating the truth of eternal pleasures at God's right hand. Well, we finally made it. I didn't think we'd make it. I thought we'd get raptured before we ever got to the end of the Gospel of Mark. But here we are, and 73 sermons in the Gospel of Mark. I don't know what I'm going to do next. No, we got some ideas. We're going to look at the shepherd next month and memorize Psalm 23 together. Probably many of you already know that. But for today, we're just getting an overview of the Gospel of Mark. And you might remember that Mark was the earliest of the Gospels that we have in the New Testament, probably written in the early 60s of that first century and written from Rome by Mark. Peter had a great influence in Mark. We're told this by early church fathers that Mark really relied on Peter's teaching and maybe even interviewing him. And it's interesting because as he's writing in that time period in Rome, the people there are being persecuted. Christians are being persecuted for their faith. And of course, Paul would be executed, Peter would be executed during that decade. And so here Peter wrote to those who had been scattered, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed with his glory when his glory is revealed." And so that kind of helps us to understand a little of the audience that Mark was writing to. And Mark's name means the hammer. Isn't that funny? The hammer, you know. And of course, you might remember that he went on a missions trip with Barnabas, who was his uncle, and with Paul. And somewhere along the line, he left. And Paul wasn't too terribly impressed about this, because later, when they're thinking about going to revisit the churches they had planted, Barnabas says, "I want to take Mark along." And Paul says, "No way, man. We're not taking him. He bailed on us." And so the missionary force doubled. And Barnabas and Mark went on their way, and Paul took a man by the name of Silas in his trip. So you had that moment when, you know, there's this breach, but at the very last letter that Paul writes before he dies, 2 Timothy, he says in the 4th chapter, "You bring along John Mark because he's profitable to me." Isn't that sweet? They had reconciled. And that's probably the time period when Mark goes to Rome, perhaps interviews some with Peter, and then sits down and writes this letter that we call the Gospel of Mark. I mean, that sorts to fit on the timeline. Now, Mark 1:1 told us that this is the beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. And it's just the beginning. In many ways, the Gospel of Mark has been like a discipleship journal. It's taught us how Jesus discipled and prepared these 11 to change the world. He was teaching with authority. You remember that? How when he taught, he just spoke and it was the Word of God. And these people say, "Man, this isn't like the scribes. They're always quoting somebody," but not Jesus. He just spoke and it was the very Word of God, and he had such power. You remember when he was calling the disciples. At the very beginning of the letter, he says, you know, "Come and follow me and I will make you fishers of men." The key word, one of the key words in the Gospel of Mark has been the word "immediately." King James sometimes translates it "straightway." It is found 42 times. But what is so amazing is even though Jesus is extremely busy, you know, we see the servant on the mission and he is busy, he's not hurried. I love that. I want to be like that. I want to be available to God. I want to be doing things as he tells me immediately, not bickering about it or griping about it. But I don't want life so pressurized that I feel harried and, you know, that kind of thing. And you see that in Jesus, and it's really very remarkable. Michael Card, in his commentary, says it's a gospel of passion. We haven't made too much of this along the journey, but there are so many times in the Gospel of Mark where Mark is telling us, because Peter told him, about the emotions of Jesus, how Jesus is feeling. It really is a gospel that highlights the humanity of our Lord. We know he is God-man, but his humanity is really highlighted in the Gospel of Mark. We see him sad, we see him compassionate, all kinds of various things that show up. We said we feel like the verse that really summarizes the gospel, which many have said, is, "For the Son of Man," which is his favorite title for himself, "did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." And so we've seen that played out. When I was preparing for this message, I thought of Psalm 107. "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story." Ransomed ones are redeemed. Let them tell their story. Don't you want to tell your story? I mean, it's so glorious. God is still alive. He's still working. This isn't just something that happened 2,000 years ago. It's happening today. And let the redeemed, let the ones who've been touched by the Lord, redeemed by the Lord, let them tell their story. And of course, Psalm 107 has all kinds of stories in it. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe. The Hebrew word here is very interesting because it says they were rescued from very difficult or dangerous situations by God himself. And there's all kinds of stories. Well, we've seen all kinds of stories in the Gospel of Mark. So, to try to review, running at full speed, I promise, we're going to look at some of the redemption stories. Now, what are some of the memorable redemption stories in the Gospel of Mark? We've seen all kinds of them. And as we review, as we just sit back and say, wow, this has been an amazing journey, we think about those he restored that were sick. We think about those who were rescued, who were oppressed. We think about those who've been relieved of their anxieties because they were very anxious. We saw Jesus, thank you for the typo, resurrects the dead. Wow, that is amazing. He resurrects the dead. I was so excited, that's why I misspelled Jesus. Jesus receives the wanderer. So again, we're going to just go through this quick list, and we're just going to celebrate what Jesus did in his time on the earth, and it's great. So at the very beginning, we say Jesus restores the sick. Now, there are many, many stories in this Gospel of Mark about people who were ill, who Jesus restored to health. Right in the first chapter, we meet a man who is a leper. And you might remember that leprosy is a very serious illness. There are very few people in the Old Testament, only two people that were healed of leprosy. Only two. In the day when Jesus is walking on the earth, this didn't happen. Okay, it wasn't a common thing. A leper was unclean. He couldn't go to the temple. His house was unclean. He'd have to live out by himself. It's a very, very serious illness. The scripture says that Jesus, a man with leprosy, came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus was indignant. I really don't like that translation. Better translated, compassionate. He's moved to pity by this man's situation. And he reached out his hand and he touched him. Now think about that. The moment he touches the leper, he himself becomes unclean. He can't go to temple now. Listen, are you willing to touch the people that so desperately need a touch? How many people do you know who could benefit so from a touch? Yeah, just a touch. Then he says, "I am willing, be clean." Immediately, there's our word. Immediately, the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Now Jesus tells him, listen, just go to the priest. If you are a priest, in that day, how many people come to you and say, "I've been cleansed of leprosy. I want to offer a sacrifice"? It never happens. So that's an incredible testimony to the priests that he had truly been cleansed by Jesus. He cleansed a leper. He cleansed a bleeding woman. You remember this story? He's walking along in a crowd, and this woman thinks to herself, "You know what? All I need to do is touch the hem of his garment. If I can just do that, that'll be enough, and I will be cleansed of this terrible bleeding issue that she's had for a long, long time, spent all her money to try to get healed." She comes up from behind, and she touches him, and because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed, immediately, there's our word again, immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. He healed her bleeding. Wow. Of course, then he says, "Okay, who touched me?" And the disciples were like, what do you mean, who touched you? Everybody's pressing in around you. Oh, no, somebody touched me. And it's kind of interesting that he singles her out and makes her tell her story to the whole crowd, which is kind of interesting. Sometimes Jesus has done that to me. Hasn't he done that to you? He provides a great answer to prayer, and he wants us just to give him glory, and that's what she did. Well, how about the blind man? You remember Bartimaeus? That's chapter 10. I love his story because he is persistent. He hears that Jesus is coming, and he goes, Son of David, Son of David! And that's a great messianic title, by the way. And the crowd said, would you please be quiet? I ain't gonna be quiet. Finally, Jesus hears him. Says, hey, bring that man to me. And I laugh because it says that he just dropped his clothes and went to Jesus. I'm like, wait a minute, he's blind. Like, how did he even do that? Right? Like, he is focused on Jesus. He knows Jesus is the one who can help him. What do you want me to do for you? Rabbi, I want to see. Go. Your faith has healed you. Immediately. There's our word again. It keeps coming up. He received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Jesus still heals sicknesses. All right? He does it by medicine. He does it by miracles. Every disease, every sickness, a cold, anything we ever had that was healed was by his power. I mean, some of these stories, of course, are very dramatic. But if you get sick, pray. Why wouldn't you go to the great physician, but then go to the doctor? All right? God can use it all. Olene, our dear sister, had heart surgery this week. She's in ICU. She's doing good. She's healing up. From the moment the surgery was over, I kept saying, Lord, heal her. Continue the healing process. And some have stories of incredible, miraculous healings. In every case, God gets the glory because he's the one who forgives our sins and heals all your diseases. That's it. So, we saw stories of people being healed. We see stories of Jesus rescuing the oppressed. Do you remember the story of this poor man? He had been so demon-possessed, he had a legion of demons in him, many demons. He was out of his mind. He was insane. They couldn't control him. They didn't know what to do with him. He ran around among the tombs, just really out of it. And it's so dramatic because after Jesus heals him, he says, when they, that's the people in the community, came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed, past tense, had been possessed by the legion of demons, sitting there, dressed, and in his right mind, and they were afraid. When people who have been severely oppressed are released by the power of Jesus, it's so dramatic, these people were afraid. They said, Jesus, get out of here. They did. They cast Jesus out of their community. Amazing. He relieves and rescues the oppressed. Mary herself, it says in Mark 16, that seven demons had been cast out of her. She's the one we talked about last week who saw the Lord Jesus. Demon possession is one kind of oppression, but there are many oppressions. You noticed when we went through the Gospel of Mark, the demons could not argue with Jesus. They had to do exactly what he said. Why? Because he was in control. He had authority over them. All authority in heaven and earth and under the earth has been given unto me, he said. And he demonstrated it. Now again, Peter comes to mind. He says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Standing firm in your faith. Because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. Many of us could say, man, I was oppressed. I didn't know where to turn. I didn't know what to do. I ran to Jesus, and he released me. He rescued me. Wow. What an amazing redemption story. How about this? He relieves the anxious. Now, for this, I thought of those disciples who were by trade fishermen, right? He's a carpenter. They're fishermen. There are two stories in the Gospel of Mark how they got involved in a storm on the Sea of Galilee. This is their home turf. They've fished this sea many times. And in one case, as you remember, Jesus is asleep in the boat. Hallelujah, Jesus took naps. If you want to follow Jesus, you're allowed to take naps. That's pretty good, right? He had a busy, busy day, man, and he's asleep. And they go, Jesus, you got to help us. We're all going to drown. He had told them they're going from one side to the other side. They weren't going to drown. But he stood up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was still. On another occasion, he's not in the boat. He sent them across the sea. He's up on a mountain praying for them and watching. And in that case, he walks on the water out to them. And again, they are indeed relieved of their anxieties. How about the Syrophoenician woman? You remember this woman? She's a Gentile. She's a mother. Her child is ill. She comes to Jesus. It's a very interesting story. And she says, Jesus, all I need is a crumb. That's all I need from you. She didn't ask Jesus to come to her house. She didn't bring her daughter with her. She just knew Jesus had the power to heal her daughter miles away. And Jesus, all I need is a crumb. It's an incredible story because in the Gospel of Mark, when we've seen a few instances where he interacted with a Gentile person, in many ways, they showed more faith than the Jewish people. And she's certainly an example of this. For such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter. She went home and found her child lying on the bed, and the demon was gone. Luke Bryant recently wrote a song. I just loved it. I heard it on American Idol. Yeah, I watch American Idol. I kind of enjoy the singing. And he wrote this song, and it's such a sweet song. It says, when my children were young, I talked to them about Jesus. And now that they're old, I talk to Jesus about them. Boy, doesn't that resonate? Yep. They got older. I'm going to talk to Jesus about them. Hallelujah. A lot of us have anxieties. All kinds. All kinds of stuff. Makes us anxious. And Jesus said, you know, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. We just sung a song that said the same thing. And all these things will be given to you as well, things like food and clothing and other things. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. It's almost to me like Jesus saying, listen, okay, you are insisting you've got to worry. Keep it to 24 hours because it's just a waste of time to think about anything beyond today. He relieves anxiety. How many of us, honestly, in this room, could today stand and testify of a time when we were just overwhelmed with anxiety and worry and concern, and they were legitimate? We didn't make this stuff up. This is real. These are not phobias. And he relieved us. He intervened. He showed up. Wow, we've seen that in the Gospel of Mark, and it's been such a great redemption story. How about this? He resurrects the dead. Hoo-hoo! Man! And we got one story here in the Gospel of Mark where Jairus has a daughter who's 12 years old, and she's ill. And you remember that this story ties with the woman who was bleeding, and as they're making their way to his house, he gets interrupted. It's really not an interruption. It's divine providence, isn't it, that that woman gets healed. And then Jairus is told, your daughter's dead. Don't bother the teacher anymore. And Jesus just tells him, keep believing. Some of you, and me too, have been told by well-meaning people, stop praying. You know, there's nothing more you can do. Like, it's over. But not this guy. And when Jesus gets to the house, he gets there and there's mourners there. You know, they had professional mourners. They used to hire people to come and cry at your door when somebody died. And the professional mourners are there and say, no, no, she's dead. She said, no, no. He goes in, raises her from the dead. There's an old Don Francisco song. He's one of my favorite. He sings ballads. I think he lives here in Colorado. He's old now, 940 maybe, I don't know. But I got to tell somebody. I got to tell somebody. I got to tell somebody what Jesus did for me. And it's all about this story. Man, yes, yes. He even resurrects the dead. And listen, we're going to be resurrected someday. I'm looking around. You look okay. You're going to look a lot better someday, right? When we're in a glorified, resurrected body that's going to last forever, that has no disease, no sin, and we can even eat. Yeah, right? It's going to be amazing. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. He receives wanderers. And I think this is also very important of redemption stories. Matthew is called to faith, and Matthew has a dinner for his friends. Now, Matthew only knows sinners. By the way, you only know sinners. I only know sinners. There isn't any other kind of people on the earth, right? The fact that he receives and would have welcome and eat with sinners, hallelujah, man, I qualify. So do you. And it's an amazing story because the critics are saying, man, what's he doing? He's eating with tax collectors and sinners. And on hearing this, Jesus said to them, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Hallelujah. Yes, he receives wanderers. And how about Peter? Remember this? We said last week when Mary's told, go and tell the disciples, and Peter. Don't forget him. Simon, this is from the Gospel of Luke, before he denied Jesus, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. I learned two things from that statement. I learned that Jesus prays for me. Man, I'm so thankful. He prays for sinners like me. And Satan had to ask permission. Isn't that sweet? He didn't just have the right to sift those apostles. He had to ask permission. But I've prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. Did it look like his faith failed? Oh, yeah, it did. In that season when he denied the Lord three times, looked like he was failing pretty good. And when you have turned back, hallelujah, God allows U-turns. He lets us turn back. He lets us repent. He lets us, you know, have a new start. Strengthen your brothers. And that's exactly what happened to Peter. And so when Peter writes his letter, he says, the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ after you've suffered a little while will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. He does indeed receive wanderers. Now, some of you are saying, you know, Pastor Rick, you haven't really finished the Gospel of Mark. Did you notice this? How many of you thought that? Yeah, you did. I know. You're not telling me, but I know you did. I want you to notice something. In my translation anyway, verses 9, in chapter 16, verses 9 to 20 is italicized because all the manuscript evidence that we have of this letter does not include this long ending. In fact, in the Greek manuscripts, it's not till the 7th, 8th, or 9th century that we start seeing this long ending. And you can just imagine that some scribe copying this saying, you know, Mark didn't finish this very well. He left the women bewildered and not talking to anybody. And so they add the long ending. Now, much of what's said in the whole long ending sounds like the book of Acts. And it is. It's a rehearsal of what happened when they went out. What is the primary command is, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. That's what he began with. He said this is the beginning of the gospel. Now he says it this way. Again, I think somebody else added it. But also, this is exactly what they did. They went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by signs that accompanied it. There's really no new information there, and I chose not to preach it. And here's the major lesson I learned from the Gospel of Mark. In Isaiah's writings, he predicted the Messiah would come and that he would be a suffering servant. See, my servant will act wisely. Jesus was the Father's servant. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. So he will sprinkle many nations, and kings will shut their mouths because of him. For what they were not told, they will see, and what they have not heard, they will understand. And who has believed our message? Isaiah goes on to say. You know, and we're here to say we've believed it. We believe that he's the servant on the mission, that he accomplished the mission perfectly, just as you had predicted it, O Lord. And so it's remarkable phenomenon, A.W. Pink says, an anomaly in any other connection. Yes, what amounts to a contradiction in terms for supremacy and subordination, godhood and servanthood are opposites. Yet this is the surprising conjunction Holy Writ sets before us, that the menial, the King of Kings, became a subject. You and I are called to serve God by serving others. That's our calling. Until God calls us home, you always got a reason to get up in the morning. You can serve God by serving others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. You know, this isn't always easy, is it? When I have to lay aside my desires for the sake of another, you know, when I have to choose to serve them even though it's inconvenient for me, this is exactly what we saw in Mark, Jesus doing. What a blessed privilege to be like Jesus and to serve wholeheartedly for his glory. And it's amazing what God's doing. It's amazing what he does when we just simply follow this very simple formula for life. Now, I want to ask you, how could Jesus redeem you today? You know, we looked at a lot of stories. We had a lady in this church who one day Ed was singing. She's sitting up front. She came in not feeling too well. Remember this, Ed? She said as Ed was singing, she just asked Jesus to give her healing. She walked out feeling much better and hasn't suffered from that same situation since. God can heal miraculously. He also heals through medicine. And again, it makes sense. Right? He also rescues oppressed. Hallelujah. Maybe you feel oppressed today. Maybe you are oppressed. Listen, he has the power. Run to him. So many times I've wished as a pastor I had a magic wand. People come in and I go, boop, you know, just make it right. I don't have a magic wand. But I have a Savior. And I can point people to him. And God will rescue them. You know, I found Jesus answers prayers I don't even have time to pray. Have you noticed that? Stuff happens and he rescues me and I didn't even know it was going to happen. I didn't even have time to pray. He relieves the anxious. I guess we're all alive here today, so we can't say resurrects the dead, but we're looking forward to that someday. But maybe you've wandered. Maybe you're back today because you came last week and it was Easter, and now you're back. I want you to know he's ready to give you a new start. You know, you've been serious about the Lord at one season of your life, kind of fell away for a while. Listen, he's ready, just like Peter, to say, hey, here's a new start. These are precious redemption stories. I pray that it's been a blessing. It's been a blessing to me. I've never done this before in my career, preached through a whole gospel. Next, we're taking on Isaiah. No, we're not. We're not. I'd have to be 100 by the time we get that one done. But it's been a glorious journey, and I thank you, brothers and sisters, for walking with me through this. It's been a great and important time in our history. As we've looked around and we've seen a lot of corruption and things, how blessed it is to see one who can redeem, one who can pay a ransom that we can't pay. Next week, we'll begin a series on the shepherd, and after that, we'll be looking at some pictures of what we are like, how God sees us, and that'll be an interesting topical journey through the summer. Dear Father, thank you today. We come to you, we're going to sing our way out of here today, and we give you thanks for every blessing you've ever given us. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Lord, Father, help us as we go out rejoicing, rejoicing, rejoicing.
You've been listening to audio from Fellowship Community Church in Centennial, Colorado. If you'd like more resources or want to support this ministry, please visit www.fcchurch.org.